Oh, my goodness. We have a huge show planned for you today, as we always do. It's always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That, of course, is our phone number. It's also the text line. You can also email us. Who emails people anymore? But stay abreast of us on social media. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. We're here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on a glorious, sun-drenched Michigan Avenue. It's tulip-festooned. It is wonderful. When you call in the show, you'll be talking to Cody. I still wish it was snowing golf. He is the executive producer of the big broadcast. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. Very exciting. After 5 o'clock, after the news, Jimmy Pardo will join us, our good friend Jimmy Pardo, the host of Never Not Funny and the Playing Games podcast. You've seen him all over television. His big part Castathon has raised over $750,000 for Smile Train. Jimmy's going to be in town next week. I'll tell you, or he'll tell you why. I'm not going to spoil the fun. He'll tell you why after 5 o'clock. Moms, are you looking for a little financial advice? I'm not going to give it to you, but we have a wonderful author and financial expert, Katie Hill, who has a brand new book that will help you out. It is aimed toward moms. It's the 30-minute money plan for moms. So that will we'll talk to Katie after 6 o'clock. We'll talk about squeamish teens. And at 5:30, what do you do if your child or a child you are taking care of is misbehaving, but what they're doing is really, really funny? We'll try to get to all of that right now. We have not been here. Cody, how long has it been since we've been here? It's been 6 months. I don't think we've been here. Oh, Cody's very busy. He's working with the engineers. So we haven't been here in a while because of baseball and things like that. But hopefully we will be around for a while. We'll see. All right. I was reading the Tribune today. I don't know why I said that. We're here now. That's all that matters. And you're here, and that's all that matters. I'm very disappointed, I got to tell you. I'm trying to realize that the White Sox season is going how it's supposed to go. This is the rebuild. We know the rebuild started last year. We know it's not supposed to be great. But it's going really badly. And despite the fact that we knew it would be kind of bad, it's really bad. So I'm a little flustered by that. All right, Cody, you back? You ready?
I'm ready.
Did we figure it out?
We always figure things out.
Okay, because I did. I had it by all rights, there should have been no sound coming out of here other than my mellifluous tones.
By all rights, there's a lot of sounds that come out in this program that, no one is ever going to hear anywhere else. That's why it's the Brian Noonan Show.
Is that why? Because we do things that no one else either has the audacity, the courage, or the stupidity to do.
Or the insanity.
All of those things. So we figured it out?
We figured it out. I think I'm a little sluggish because of Cinco de Mayo.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I started Cinco de Mayo off slow because, first of all, let's be honest, it should be a much more somber holiday than it is. In Mexico, it's a somber holiday. They're celebrating the defeat of the French by a wildly outnumbered Mexican army. So it's a big deal. But somehow, America took it and turned it into, let's put on sombreros and drink a lot of margaritas. Ay, 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 ay.
Yeah.
And people are crazy. So I didn't want to get all into the hoopla of Cinco de Mayo. We did, however, go out. This is how I know I went to an authentic Mexican restaurant last night. There was not anything about Cinco de Mayo in this place. Nothing. There wasn't a cheesy banner. There wasn't a beer promotion that said Cinco de Mayo. There wasn't some crazy buy one, get 18 free margarita special. Nothing. You know what were in there? A lot of Hispanic people eating quality Mexican food.
Nice.
That's all that was in there. So I think I celebrated it rightly. But it's been so gorgeous this weekend. Finally. I dropped the top on the convertible yesterday. I had a bunch of errands to do, and I was like, you know what? I'm putting the top down because it's the first 80-degree Saturday since September, they said.
Wow.
That's a long time. That's what, we're in May, so that's 8 months. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a day like that. That was pretty quick math, wasn't it?
That was.
Are you impressed?
I'm very impressed.
There was only a little bit of steam coming out of my head, too. That was pretty good. So I'm going to do this, and I had an unbelievable, my day started out, I was on a winning streak. Everything was going my way. Everything was coming up roses. So I get in the convertible. It hadn't been driven a lot, over the winter. Go, I fill up the tires. I wash the windshield. Man, I'm zipping along. Everything's great. I had bought some things that I needed to return or exchange. I was leaning toward return because I had bought them on clearance. long story, but I wanted to, I needed them different. They didn't quite work. So I go back to this store, and I'm greeted by, quite frankly, the friendliest salesperson I've ever been greeted by in my life.
Wow.
I'm telling you, the sky is blue, the sun is shining, the top is down, and now I've got this woman who is, could not be friendlier, and I say to her, I have this bag of merchandise, I need to either return or exchange this. Oh, well, let me look. And she looks, and she sees that it was, I bought it on clearance. I have the receipt and everything. She's like, well, let me go see if we have it. We'll go over here and look. And we look. She, oh, we don't. Let me go. How about I go online and see if I can find it online? And I'm like, okay, but there's no chance. These were clearance items. You're never going to find them. She says, okay, I got the one item. Hey, I found the second one. You want to go for three? I said, yeah. She found all three items. I said, so what does this mean? She goes, I'm going to return these. I'm going to ship these to your house, the new ones to your house, no charge.
Wow.
How about it? So now I'm ecstatic. I leave. I'm driving around. I went to another thing. All my errands were falling. All my errands fell right into place. Then I got home. I'm feeling saucy. So I decide I'm going to go out in the backyard and try to... My backyard right now looks like a street in Beirut. It does. There are, and I wish, I'll post a picture so people know I'm not exaggerating, because I know I'm prone to hyperbole.
Sure.
There are giant holes all over my yard, because my dog Gidget, in her later years, has become completely insane. And now digs like there's a treasure. Unfortunately, she has not uncovered a treasure. She somehow... Last year I did some landscaping with, I planted a blueberry bush and there's a rose bush and I put a mulch and everything and I put a nice little fence so she couldn't get in there and dig it out. Somehow over the winter, she got under the fence. The fence is still there. There's no gap in the fence. I don't know how she got under this fence or over this fence, but that's completely dug out. I had stored the patio table on the side of the house, covered up. She went under the patio table cover and dug a gigantic hole. She did the same to the stack of chairs that were under a cover. She dug a big hole there. Then the middle of the yard, there's a giant hole. There's about three other holes. And my neighbor comes out as I'm there and I'm cleaning up, you know, poop and stuff, and I'm moving things around. And he's looking. And I go, yeah, it looks horrible, doesn't it? He's like, yeah, what's going on? Like, I don't know. This dog's insane. But then I start, you know, I'm trying to, doing some yard work yesterday. The whole day was great. And then we went out for Cinco de Mayo and went to, you know, and didn't get all Americanized for Cinco de Mayo. So it was, man, it's been a wonderful weekend.
Yes.
Now, why,
yes.
What did you do? What was it? Why are you sluggish? Were you, were you across the street from your house?
No, I wasn't. I did not go to Broken English Taco Pub. That would have been delicious. No, they were closed before we wanted to go. No, we went out last night, but yesterday, with the nice weather,
yes.
For the first time in my adult life, for the first time in at least 15 years, I rode a bike.
You've been an adult for 15 years?
At least.
Wow.
Well, chronologically. But, I have not ridden a bike. Like, I didn't ride bikes growing up.
Hold on.
My brothers did.
You know, how do you not ride bikes growing up? You grew up in this country.
I grew up playing video games. I don't know what it was.
Your parents never made you go outside?
My parents tried to teach me at one point, realized I was horribly uncoordinated, I think. I don't know. And I just never, I don't know. I was always inside. It was hard to get.
All right.
So older brothers were a handful. So I think they realized, you know what? If these kids aren't mobile and able to ride bikes all around town.
Yeah, but riding a bike is like a rite of passage.
I know.
American rides a bike.
I know everyone. Listening is their hair is bursting into flame right now.
Even people in like eighth world countries, and I don't even think there are eighth world countries. I think it stops at third. But even those people ride bikes.
Yeah.
Everyone rides a bike.
No, I took like a remedial bike riding class in middle school before we went on before I went on a trip. Get this,
Hold on. They had a bike riding class. What?
No, it wasn't a class. It was just like...
You said took a remedial bike riding class in middle school. That leads me to believe that there's a teacher there who somehow got a degree, and then they went, well, what do you want to teach, Mr. Johnson? You want to teach calculus, algebra? You know what? I'd really like to teach kids to ride bikes. Uh-huh. And you got a master's for that? Well, I got a master's, not necessarily in bike riding, but I think I could put it to good use, teaching children balance and feng shui. And all right, so I'm sorry. So where were you going that you needed to take a remedial class in bike riding?
I was on the, I did the people student ambassador trip to Europe when I was in like ninth grade.
Okay.
And spent a few weeks in Europe. And part of that was going to Amsterdam. And they were like, hey, we're going to ride bikes in Amsterdam.
Oh, you got to ride bikes in Amsterdam.
Right, everyone does. And at that point, my parents realized, wow, Cody's really bad at riding bikes. We need to teach him. So my dad, like, would take me, this eighth grader, and my sister, you know, was like 5 years younger than me.
No.
And he's like, well, I'm going to teach your sister how to ride a bike because she should know about this age. And I'm going to try to fix all of your mistakes. And I kind of faked it and then, like, semi was able to ride in Amsterdam. But
you
yeah,
can't really fake riding a bike.
It's, yeah, I know.
You either ride it or you fall.
But yesterday.
Those are your options. Yes. Okay. So fast forward to yesterday.
We practiced in an alley. I practiced going up and down an alley.
Where'd you get the bike?
Divvy.
Oh, so you, all right. So you got, you rented a Divvy.
Paid a few bucks for a Divvy and took it up and down. And then I'm like, all right, cool. I can actually do this. It's not, because everybody says it's easy. It's like getting on,
it's like riding a bike.
But if you've never ridden a bike, it's really hard
very difficult.
To learn as an adult. But no, I was zipping up and down. And then she's like, let's go to the lakefront. And we went down to the lakefront. And I got on the path. And it was all fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very exciting.
I was very proud of myself, except for one time there was a kind of a sharp turn on the mm-hmm. path up by Montrose Beach. And I was taking it. And I was on the outside, as I knew I should be. I was following Casey. So I knew, like, I was in the
right. Casey can ride a bike.
You know, she rides bikes all the time.
Oh, sure.
So I'm over to the side and everything, and then this guy goes, on your left! And, you know, he zips like an inch by me. And I probably wobbled a little bit to the left because I don't have a great balance because I haven't ridden a bike in 15 years. And the guy just starts cursing at me. He's like, I said on your left! And he started, like, dropped a couple F-bombs.
Oh, easy
bike
shorts.
He's like 60-year-old, like, biker guy with all the spandex. And it's like, you know what? Like, I'm sorry. This is public. It's a public
yes.
park. Like, not everyone here's a racer. There's kids out here.
Well, these people who are all dooted up, and they're out, you know, they're trying to set some new course for, go to a hippodrome. That's what those are for. You don't, this is the bike path along the lake. It's a common, as you said, Cody, it is a common area. So look how big I, no, you're not. You're enhanced because of the spandex.
Wow.
Shut up. Then he jumps on with his padded bottom, and he puts his little dental mirror out of his helmet, and he starts off. Look at me. He's got the shoes that clip onto the pedals, because he's going to go really fast and break some land speed records. Hey, Lance Armstrong, nobody cares. You're riding along the lake, all right? Relax. And if you're one of these people, relax too, because you can ride, but you have to, you are an experienced rider. You have to make way for the inexperienced rider. Until they have a lane that's just for Olympic wannabes, then share the road. I never fall off my bike. You know when I fell off my bike? When I had actually stopped. And I was standing with one foot on the ground and one on a pedal. And somehow I got woozy. And I just fell over. I'm like, wow, I need a helmet. Because this could be the... And how embarrassing would it be to die while your bike isn't even moving and you fall off? You falling off makes sense. You're a little unsteady. You're a little wobbly. You're new at it. Me, I've been riding forever. I hop on it and then I stop. And I fall over.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That's pretty rough.
Get yourself a helmet. And do me a favor. Since you are a novice, don't go on the street. Stay on the path.
And that was the thing. I mean, if I was biking on any street, I wouldn't do that without a helmet.
Yeah,
well, I know I wouldn't do that without a helmet. I'm still terrified to ride in the street. But, I mean, you know, so we took a couple little side streets, and I run a couple, like, empty sidewalks. I know you're not supposed to do that, in areas where anybody was around. But, yeah, and I know, and someone texted in that something about, well, I don't know where it went, but, oh, the person you just described is why I don't go bike riding on weekends.
Right.
So, I went on one of the craziest days of the year, which is why I felt really proud of myself.
Yeah.
But it was such a bummer because that guy, like, really took the wind out of my sails.
Well, listen.
Just be nice to people. Like,
that guy is overcompensating for pretty much everything.
Wow.
His entire body is probably hairless because he thinks he's more aerodynamic because he's got to get from North Avenue to Belmont in, like, 0.6 seconds. So, he's at home waxing and he's looking at his thighs. Eyes and his cat. Look at my leg. Yeah, easy. All right, just get on the bike and run. Well, I've got a saddle where my nards drop right through, so that everything is fine. Shut up. Just you know, unless you're competing in the Olympics, which you would do on a track, not on the lake, or in the Tour de France, where they shut down all the streets, that's fine. You know, if you're just riding around. Zip. All right, we got to do this. Then there's more, and then there's the news, and you know, then the show's happening. I guess that's what we're saying. The show is happening, isn't it? All right, it's WGN. After a couple weeks, coming out hard with that bump music. Cody dropping a little. What is that? Muse.
Yeah.
Hard Edge.
I was originally gonna play Motorhead. This is nothing.
All right, well, either way, it's not turning off as it didn't last time. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN, you know where you are, you know who I am. You also know that Jimmy Pardo is the host of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. Never Not Funny has had wonderful, top-of-the-line, cream-of-the-crop entertainment guests, such as Conan O'Brien, John Hamm, you've heard of these people, Amy Poehler, Zach Galifianakis, John Cryer, Paul Reiser, just to name a few, and for some reason, next week, Jimmy Pardo will be talking to me on Never Not Funny. He brings that podcast and his Playing Games podcast to Zanies in Rosemont. And Jimmy joins me now on WGN. Jimmy, how are you? Wait a minute.
You're doing well. I laughed out loud. I'm in a beautiful backyard here in Los Angeles, California. Oh, a sunny, beautiful day. I laughed out loud at you responding to the Muse.
It's very exciting. You know I'm all about the music, Jimmy.
You covered it hard after a couple of weeks. The word choices made me laugh very much.
Well thank you. This is exciting that you are bringing. First of all right. We'll get to the plug and we'll get to everybody coming to Zanies Rosemont. Two things. First, I want to congratulate you because I talked to you just before Podcastathon, which for people who don't know, Jimmy every year does a Podcastathon filled with celebrity guests to raise money for Smile Train. Now, this year, you raised almost $200,000.
I'm going to update that, Brian. Our website is not updated. We ended up raising over $200,000 that night.
Just this year. So what's the total? Are you over a million? You're almost...
We're over $1 million, yeah. We crossed... I was guesting on the aforementioned Conan O'Brien show back in March. And as I was walking to the stage, I got a text message from Smile Train saying, hey, this was our most successful podcastathon ever. We raised over $200,000, wow. And we just crossed the $1 million mark. And so I was able to put that out as an exclusive when I walked down to the Conan O'Brien stage.
That's phenomenal.
One day in March.
One day in March. That's the title of your next autobiography, isn't it?
Well, my next one will certainly, of course, be my first one.
Well,
so,
you never know.
Well, no, I know. No,
you know? You know this is the first one?
First one. I've not written one.
Are you sure you don't have it tucked away somewhere? Well, listen, that's a good title. Keep that title in your back pocket for one of your forthcoming autobiographies.
Again, I don't have any, but yes, one day in March will certainly be on the whiteboard.
Yeah, put it on the whiteboard. Well, congratulations on that. That is a phenomenal undertaking and a great cause. People can still go to podcast.com and make donations, am I correct?
They can. I recommend you save your money up until next year when we do the event again, because it's really all about us and not about the children that we're raising the money for.
That's true. You want to look good.
It's all about looking good.
Yeah,
impressed.
You want the Smile Train people to go, wow, that Jimmy Pardo, he brings in a lot of dough. If it just trickles in throughout the year, it kind of lessens it, doesn't it?
I think it does. And okay. Now, of course, Hunter, in case anybody's driving their car and thinks I'm serious, I'm kidding, please donate the Smile Train.
Yeah, because we live in a time where everybody thinks everything is serious.
We live in weird times.
We do live in weird times. We live in a time when the White Sox are supposed to be rebuilding, and yet we know that, and they still can't win a game, and it's discouraging, is it not?
Well, let me tell you this. I was excited about James Shields' outing today. You know, I'm from Chicago. The listeners that don't know that, I'm originally from Chicago. And I grew up in the south suburbs, originally in the south side of Chicago, and then we made our way to the suburbs. James Shields is solid through six. Now, here's what happened with me, Brian. I'm glad you brought up the White Sox. I'm sitting here at home, and I'm watching the game, and Hawk Harrelson was on, and Tom Petorek was on for the weekend.
Wimpy's coming in for a couple games.
And nice to have that combo back. And I'm not going to lie to you, when Hawk said goodbye to Tom and said this probably would be our last game together that we ever broadcast together, I actually teared up. I got a little weepy-eyed.
Yeah, they were a great pair, and they still do very well together.
They do, you know, and listening to and watching Jason and Tom Petorek over the weekend, Petorek's just, it turns out he's great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jason Benetti does a great job. And I'm one of the, I don't want to say few, I know he's got a lot of fans, but I've outspoken that they don't like Hawk Harrelson. I love him. But yeah, it was nice to hear Hawk and Tom back together again. I feel that, and maybe I'm, there's no way this is the last game they do. They've got to have one last one before Hawk retires.
Oh, you're exactly right. Yeah, they're going to bring him back. Because the whole thing leading up to the end is going to be a huge celebration. All those games are going
to
be a big deal. So,
it
yeah,
has
he'll
to be,
back.
Right? And even if they just have Petorek come on for like an inning or two.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it. How do you not do that?
No, they will. They're pretty smart, though, down there at 35th and Shields. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, even if they, I mean, it's going to be one of the, I think it's one of those games where it's like, you know, they got Stone Pony in there for a few. They might even settle him with Darren Jackson for a few innings. And then Tom Petorek brings it home.
Listen, Darren is on our airwaves. We love Darren Jackson. We love Ed Farmer.
I know you do.
Who I finally got to meet. I know you've had a lot of encounters with Ed. I finally got to meet Ed, a wonderful man, as you said, and quite verbose. He does, as you mentioned, he loves to tell a story.
In fact, I'm surprised you were able to get on the air.
Well, this was, I met him opening day, so we've had some time.
Okay. You were able to sneak away.
Yeah, we had a little time. But,
there's a guy in a Notre Dame jacket, then you ran away.
It is, yeah, well, that's pretty much it. But Ed and Darren are you know, they're calling the games here on WGN. We are the,
they do a great job. I enjoy listening to those guys via the WGN app.
Look at you. Look at you with the cross promotion. All right,
you're welcome.
Speaking of the internet and apps, we'll lump podcasts into this whole thing. Never Not Funny has been going on for how many years now?
We just celebrated our 12th year. We started in April of 2006.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. It's stupid. It's, you know, my partner, Matt Belknap, and I have been together for 12 years doing this show. And when you think about, like, legendary radio people, even, like, in that town, you know, mm-hmm. one of our heroes, Steve Dahl, and then and Gary Meyer, you know, what were they were together 6 years, and,
right.
and people still don't stop talking about them.
Exactly. Cody and I have been together, what are we, 10? We're at 10 years, Cody and I have been together.
Is that right?
Yep.
Now, what about, I can't pull their names, and I so badly want to, Johnny and, what's that morning, the husband-wife team?
Steve and Johnny.
Steve and Johnny.
Steve and Johnny were on the air here for 25 years, I think.
See?
They were on forever. Now they're retired. They still come back every once in a while, do some shows. They're living in between here and Florida. They split their time, but yeah, they were on together forever. Yeah, Eddie and Jobo were on forever.
I think it's amazing when people can last, you know, and again, I'm very, very lucky that Matt Belknap and I, my co-host, we get along so well, and we got a nice crew over there with Elliot and Garen, or you know, some other cast members of the show.
Yeah, you got a whole crew, and to think, I know you probably do this a lot, but you think back, when you started, there weren't that many podcasts. It was something that most people didn't know about, and all of a sudden, now you've got this podcast that's been running forever, and not just running forever, but has grown, your audience has grown, it's been wildly successful. Do you ever think back and go, man, it's come a long way from sitting at your kitchen table?
Yeah, I think it every single time I'm driving to my studio. And and actually think back to where it was like when Matt Belknap and I were thinking about, you know what, should we quit? Nobody seems to care about podcasting. And thank God we didn't quit because, you know, the podcast boom took off. And you know, I'm grateful that, you know, I'm considered a pioneer in this industry. And, you know, at some point I'll get a certificate or a patch for that.
Wow.
It'll be there's talk of patches, Brian.
Really? Like an embroidered, a whole thing that you could iron on your jeans or something?
There has to be, yes. I've got some holes in my jeans that I would patch up with a patch like I was in grade school.
Well, sure. Yeah, we're children of the 70s and 80s. We remember patches on your pants.
Yeah, you know, somehow in the 70s, it was cool. And then by the 80s, if you saw a guy with patches on his jeans, you'd go, ah, look at that sad guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Can't afford it. But then, now we go back to people buying pants with holes in them where they need the patches, quite frankly.
I know. Listen, we live in, again, these
troubling
times, Brian.
Troubling times. All right, so this is, now you do this often. You'll take Never Not Funny on the road. But this time, you're coming to Zany's Rosemont, not just with Never Not Funny to record your podcast in front of a live audience, but you have another podcast, Playing Games. It sounds like the title should be self-explanatory of the content. Is that the case? Do you just play games on this podcast?
No, you know what? I have a feeling some people, based on the people that don't know the show, it's a game show.
Okay.
And I host the game show, and our guest, we have a celebrity guest each episode that we do. And in Chicago, it's going to be WGN's own Bill Leff.
Very funny guy.
Who, of course, I've known Bill since high school, and I'm grateful for it and cherish his friendship. And Bill's going to be our guest for that. And then we bring three contestants up from the audience, and we play. It's a game show.
Oh,
and
very cool.
But before it's a game show, it's an interview, and you could download episodes of this. It's available, on wherever you get your podcast. It's called Playing Games with Jimmy Pardo, and there's six episodes out there. We've only done six. It was a limited run that we did, and we're probably going to do more this summer.
Cool.
And there's some nice episodes with Scott Aukerman and Rich Summer and Lauren Ash from Superstores, Christelle Alonso, and Nikki Glaser, and and Zach Galifianakis was nice enough to come in and do an episode with us.
That's great.
And so that's a game show. So when we were at Zany's last time, we just did two recordings of Never Not Funny, and so mm-hmm. this time Matt and I said, hey, why don't we do one Never Not Funny and do one game show? And so that's what we're doing.
That'll be excellent. And yeah. Bill will be on the Playing Games, and that is the second show of the day. People
that's
can go to
o'clock. Yes, sir.
People can go to podcast.com to get their tickets, or they can go to zanies.com. Anywhere you can get tickets for Zany's Rosemont. This is Saturday, May 12th.
That's correct. A week from, I guess, six days from today.
Yes. So Playing Games, you say, starts at 4 o'clock. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And prior to that is Never Not Funny. Now, when I was introducing you, I read the list of luminaries that you have had on this show. And it is an impressive list of luminaries. Are there no more luminaries? Have we reached the end of the luminaries? Because I am a guest on this program, and I am honored to do it. I am just I'm looking at this list and going, oh boy,
I gotta do
something.
Now you've been on the show before, and we're thrilled that you're on, and that you've been on in the past. We're thrilled to have you this coming Saturday. Especially for the live shows, you've got to have the right type of guest. You got to have a guest that knows how to talk. A, in front of people, and knows how to talk with people.
Ah.
Comics, they make their living talking on stage, but yet for some reason, sometimes when you bring them into a live setting doing a podcast, they want to take over, they don't know how to be a guest
right.
in somebody's house, they think it's the Johnny John hour, they talk for hours. Johnny John, by the way, great comic.
See, I never liked him.
Oh, well, you know what? To each his own. That's where there's different flavors of ice cream, bro.
That's exactly right. Johnny John just never did. And I know he's a comics comic. I should like
sure
him,
is, but you're right.
I can't
not
get him.
Everybody.
Can't get into him. Sorry.
But you're the perfect, guys like you, and again, Bill Leff, they're the perfect type of guy to have on. And, guys that, broadcasters and actors, and they seem to know how to do, communicate better, improv, get people. Seem to, and again, I make my living being a stand-up comic, so I don't need to put down stand-ups, but
it's a different mentality and a different performance muscle that you have when you're a stand-up, because I think you'll agree, when you're a stand-up, you have to go in and control that room all the time.
Yes.
And so being in a forum like yours where you have to, give yourself over to just being a guest and listening and answering questions and going along with what the host is doing, which may not be your agenda, but it's the host's agenda.
I think you and I, we could both be honest, we've been guilty of it ourselves back in our younger days as comics, when you go on a radio show in like Ames, Iowa, or somewhere in Omaha, you might go, oh, this guy doesn't know, I'm a comedian, I got to come out and take over. And it's like, you don't have to.
Right. No, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I know I did that, but
I know I did too.
Listen, sometimes it had to be done, Jimmy. Let's be honest.
I was being gentle.
No need to be gentle here. This is where harsh reality rears its ugly head. So how is it different for you to prepare? You're coming now to do this, and you've done it before, but doing Never Not Funny and playing games in front of a live audience rather than in your studio, which is definitely your house. Is there a different mentality coming in? Do you prepare differently, or you're so used to being on stage it doesn't even matter?
I think it's more of what you just said, more of the latter of it doesn't really matter. But at the same time, you know, when you're doing, and you know this from doing radio and doing stand-up as well, when you're in the studio, you know, you don't have to wait for laughs,
right?
Or you don't have to go, hey, that should have got a bigger laugh, like when you say something. But
right.
When there's a live audience, you say something that you think is funny, and it just kind of goes, eh, you're like, hey, what the hell just happened? And at the same time, you kind of chase the laugh a little bit in a live show where you'd never do in the studio. It's just talking.
Yes.
And we've gotten better about that, but at the same time, there's people there that paid money to come and watch the show, so, you know, why not chase the laughs a little bit?
And what was the impetus for you to decide, you know, obviously you're still going out and doing stand-up, but for you to bring this, was there, and I know from seeing you do stand-up, you get a huge amount of your audience is coming from the podcast. Was that what made you decide to say, you know, we got to take this out too?
Exactly. You know, I know some other podcasts had done some live shows and may have put it in our ear, like, hey, it's fun to do these. And, you know, we did it at some comedy festivals. We did it, 10 years ago now, we did some live shows. And then all of a sudden we figured out, hey, you know what? We go to these comedy clubs and do some matinee shows. It doesn't interrupt the flow of their week of, you know, regular stand-up comedy and headliners and such. And, you know, we come into the afternoon, they make some extra money selling some food and drink, and we get a couple of bucks, and, you know, we get to meet these fans. And it's almost to me, Brian, and I don't want to dismiss the performance part, but it's very much, it's almost like we're all in it for the meet and greet afterwards.
Yeah.
The fans are, you know, we might as well just line up a sound warehouse, like when I was a kid going to meet Steve Dahl. You know, it's like,
right.
It may as well, or Bob Surratt, or whoever, you know, Captain Whammo. Let me just name more people from my childhood.
I remember standing in line at a Tower Records to meet Seika and Stephen Gary. That was a triple bill right there.
Yeah, remember when Seika was like in the zeitgeist? We all had a friend, like, hey, oh, of course it's Seika. She's a friend that hangs out with us down at Burton Place.
Yeah, what? She's on the radio, and she's, hey, yeah. I remember that time. I don't miss it.
Very weird, right?
Yes, it would be like, it could be happening again. Somebody was on Saturday Night Live last night. It's happening again.
As I was going off on this rant about how ridiculous it was like, hey, dummy, it happened last night.
Yeah, everything comes full circle, Jimmy. Soon we'll have big bell bottoms again and Nehru jackets. Everything comes back.
Well, you know what? You know what happens the last time we had bell bottoms and Nehru jackets? We impeached a guy. So, hey, let's see what happens.
Oh, man. Now, I'm gonna pause for a minute. Let that sink in.
Wait, are you pausing so that all the hate mail goes your direction or my direction?
Sure, I'll take it. Listen, once we open the text line, there's nothing but, there's a lot of it. It's a portal to hell. All right, Cody is yelling at me that we have to break, but we're gonna let you go. But let's do the big plug. Everybody needs to be at Zany's Rosemont next week, Saturday. Never Not Funny, the live version features starring Jimmy Pardo, Matt Belknap, and featuring me, will go off at what time?
That'll be at 1:30 p.m. At the Zany. So we've also got Ken Schultz is going to be our Garen for a day. That's our intern character on the show. So we got local comedian Ken Schultz will be
very
doing
nice.
That. And then at 4 p.m., we have that Playing Games. Bill Leff is our special guest. And there is a combo ticket you could buy at the Zany site. Where you can buy a discounted ticket to come to both shows.
Yeah, and if you're coming to one, you might as well stay for both. It's going to be fun. I'm impressed that you do a meet and greet. Now, do you actually shake people's hands, or do you Howie Mandel fist bump? Is there hugging involved? How intimate is this meet and greet?
You know what? I shake hands and hug. I do whatever the person wants. I'm a nice man.
You are an accommodating celebrity, Jimmy.
Celebrity's a strong word, but I'm accommodating. I'll agree with that part of it.
Well, listen, I can't wait. I am honored to do Never Not Funny again. It's going to be terrific to see you and Matt and to be part of this and then to stay around and watch Bill during the Playing Games podcast taping as well. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon. Bring your mom. It's the day before Mother's Day. This would be nothing says Happy Mother's Day like coming and hanging out at Zany's with Jimmy Pardo, Matt Belknap, Bill Leff, and myself and everybody else that's going to be involved. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. Jimmy, congratulations again on the Smile Train and Podcast-a-thon, raising all that money. That is terrific work, and I can't say, I know you don't like people to blow smoke. I'm not. I think it genuinely needs to be applauded for all the hard work that you've done for that wonderful cause. So congrats on that, and I will see you Saturday.
Thank you so much. Thanks for talking to me, and I will see you Saturday, pal.
Sounds good. Take care, Jimmy. That's Jimmy Pardo, Never Not Funny and Playing Games. We'll tape live at Zany's Rosemont next Saturday, May 12th. First one's at 1:30, then at 4 is Playing Games. Bill Leff will be the special guest on the Playing Games part. Go to zanys.com, and you can get a combo ticket to come and see the entire hullabaloo happen next Saturday at Zany's Rosemont. Zanys.com or podcast.com. All right, we got to do this. Cody's mad at me, as usual. I keep wanting to use a touchscreen. I know this is very behind inside baseball, but we used to be able to do this as a touchscreen. I find I'm having that trouble at school, too, because I'm used to using my iPad, and then I try to use a laptop, and I'm slamming on it with my finger, and people go, that's not a touchscreen.
It's like those kids, the little kids. If you see like a 2-year-old, yeah, they take a magazine and they try to swipe it up and down.
Yes.
They don't understand that it's not a screen.
That's me. Either look like that or a gorilla that's been handed technology. And I'm like, just slamming on it. I will say, speaking of technology, because we were just, Cody and I off there were dealing with Twitter, because I had to change my password, because a big thing came out. Debbie, my wife, who's not on Twitter, said, did you see the story? They said all Twitter's passwords were vulnerable. And then I go onto Twitter, and there's a big message from Twitter. Hey, yeah, we usually keep our passwords hidden from our employees, but something happened, and all of these passwords were out in the open. So you may want to change your password. So for the first time, I was like, oh, yeah, I better change my password. I hadn't changed. You know when I first changed the Twitter password for this show's account?
Yeah, I do, because I
was
there.
Yeah, when it was created.
Yeah.
When we created our Twitter account, that was the last time we changed the password. But now it's changed. It's locked down. Nobody's getting in.
Very secure password, though.
Huh?
It's long.
It was a very secure password. This one is secure as well.
All right.
This is very long and secure.
What is it?
It is a...
look how you tried to trick me.
See that, Pam? He tried to lull me in.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, because he knew. I just said how bad I was with the technology, and he tried to suck me in.
And he likes you, too. That's so funny.
Right. So I know, even if I had told him, he wouldn't have been the one to do anything, but he knows. There would have been a lot of chicanery and skullduggery happening. Yep, chicanery and skullduggery, which was another long-running morning team. Back in, like, the 40s.
I remember them.
Yeah, they were really good. They were very, very good.
Chicanery's earlier stuff, way better.
Really?
Yeah.
I will say, with the Twitter, I got another, you know, we're verified, because we're big shots on Twitter, Cody, you mm-hmm. and I. And so Brian Noonan's show on Twitter is a verified account. And to me, that means absolutely nothing other than that there's a blue check mark after my name. So I guess that's a big deal.
It is a huge deal.
That's awesome. I never cared enough to get the blue check mark.
See, I only have the blue check mark because Cody took care of it. When I'm going to verify this account, okay? And I went, yeah, okay. I don't care.
So, but they're pretty hardcore. Didn't I need like a picture of your driver's license to upload to Twitter?
We had to go through a lot. I sent in some samples of various fluids and skin and retinal scan. There was a retinal scan. There was another scan that I don't want to talk about because I still feel the effects. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm verified, which... I think I told you once before that came up, and my daughter and her friends thought that was, of all the things I've done in my life, that was the thing she was most excited about, that I was Twitter verified. So, and her friends were, and I see, not everybody's Twitter verified, whatever, I don't care. But, so the other day, she's going to Jazz Fest, and she's going with a friend of hers, and Lionel Richie was performing Thursday night at Jazz Fest. And I guess, now I like Lionel Richie. I liked him way before American Idol. Let's just put it that way.
Commodores.
Oh, come on. Say, unbelievable with the Commodores. Unbelievable. Then when that, the album, what was the name of the album that came out with Hello on it? That was the biggest album in the history of albums. One of them. It was unbelievable. So anyway, her friend loves this Lionel Richie song, Angel. Just loves it. And so Molly calls me and says, hey, we've been trying to direct message Lionel Richie, and you're verified on Facebook or on Twitter, so maybe it'll carry some more. Would you please tweet at Lionel Richie and ask him to play this song? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. She's like, no, you're verified, and that means something. So he'll probably read it because you're verified. And to me, that, I don't know. So what do? Sure, I tweeted Lionel Richie. Hey, Lionel Richie. I said, I know it's close to showtime at Jazz Fest. Jazz Fest immediately likes my tweet. So, because I'm verified.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big deal on social media. So,
Ooh, can you get me invited to the royal wedding?
Sure, because I had to turn down my invitation, Pam, because I don't know if you know, I'm a pretty big deal, and I've got other things going on. But sure, you can have my invitation.
I want you to tweet Megan and tell her I am an alum and from Chicago, so she needs to get me in.
Well, let me finish this story and see if you still want me to go to bat on your behalf. Not that I won't, but you may change your mind. So I sent him this text. I go, I know it's close to showtime, but if you can play Angel, it would make my daughter Molly and her friends Hannah's night. Dad to dad, what do you say? And like I said, immediately Jazz Fest likes the tweet. And Molly goes bananas. And her friends are all like, oh my God, your dad tweeted at Lionel Richard. He's very... Nothing. He's got his festival set. And he goes up. All the performers do. They know exactly what they're going to do when they get there. They're not going to vary. He's got X amount of minutes on stage at Jazz Fest. He's going to go up. Sure, he's going to do Dancing on the Ceiling. He's going to do Hello. He's going to do all sorts of things. But he will not do Angel.
It's all the lights.
You think it's the lights?
It's the whole lights. They're all programmed.
Oh, yeah, because everything is set.
Yeah.
You can't just go off. You've got your show is all produced.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but whatever. I still got a lot of cachet because then Molly goes on Instagram and puts pictures of herself and her friends and the shots of their direct messages to Lionel Richie, which is a little creepy when you start direct messaging people on Instagram and things. Not that me tweeting at Lionel Richie is not creepy, but I would rather Lionel Richie be mad at me than Molly be mad at me.
Sure.
This way, so then she posts a picture of the tweet, and her friends are like, this is out of control. How is your father verified?
Oh, wow. I got to do this. Cody,
yeah, Pam,
can you
gotta,
show me how to do this?
Pam, you got to get verified. All the kids will think you're the coolest. You'll be the coolest news person ever.
I think so. I can go. I can check.
Cody will check it out. Do you have a handle? What's your handle?
It is, let me think of what it is now. It is at Shy Pamela, Chipamela. I don't have very many. I like 1,000 people.
You gotta get.
I know. I started with the Facebook thing, sure. And I tried to up my people on Facebook, and then I kind of let Instagram and Twitter kind of just hang out there. Like I probably do more Instagram now, but like Twitter, I just, oh my gosh, to have to update that feed every day. It was just like, oh my gosh, three things.
I work with Cody, who's a social media guy, so it was ingrained into me that we had to keep doing it. It's all about the brand, right, Cody? Is that what the
all
kids
right.
say? It's all about the brand.
I don't even have the Facebook app on my phone anymore.
No?
I never look at Facebook.
Really?
It's
yeah.
all about Instagram and Twitter?
I open Instagram like twice a year.
What are you on, Twitter?
Yeah.
That's it?
I like the pictures on Instagram. Like, I love
too.
Taking, you know, I like to be an amateur photographer, so.
I like to see what people are up to. I like the pictures. It's easier. Then you don't have to read all the, wordy posts.
Yeah, you
like
gotta,
our friend Roger, 15 paragraphs. Too much?
Well,
just show me a picture.
The thing is, it's so, like, political. Like, do I need to know the ideology of the drummer in my 7th grade band? Like,
well,
do I need to know what how he
do
thinks
you
we're
need
gonna...
to know it, or do you want to know it? There's
oh,
yeah. a big difference.
Neither of these things.
All right, then. We'd say no. We'd leave it at that.
Most of the opinions and things I see on Facebook are things that I don't care about.
That's true. I don't... And listen... I stay away from political posts. I'll retweet something if it really affects me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm tired of all the yelling. I'm tired of all the
yelling. A lot of yelling.
I try to, I got a Subland hashtag that I work on. That's, for Instagram. But speaking of Subland, all right, because this is the story I teased.
Terrific hashtag, by the way, and terrific transition.
Thank you.
Flawless.
Boom. We've been off a couple weeks. I didn't forget how to do this.
10 out of 10.
Natural. Completely natural.
Not to mean naked, like au natural.
Oh, no, not au natural.
Natural. We're not wearing pants, but still.
Well, it's warm out. Spring is here. Spring's out, ding's out. You know what I'm saying.
Whoa. Hi-o.
And suddenly the station got shut down. All right, so I've been teaching second grade. And I have to have rules. I have to be walk that line, as all teachers and parents do too. You have to walk that line between being really strict and giving your kids a little leeway. So I have one kid in my class, and his name's Jadiel. Nobody knows him. So I could say it. An eight-year-old's not going to sue me, is he? Seven, eight-year-old. Jadiel, nice kid.
Let's use a nickname. Let's use...
Bub.
Donald or Daffy, I was going to say.
Well, let's go with Daffy.
Daffy?
Yeah, let's go with Daffy.
I like Daffy.
Yeah, I do too. So Daffy is a nice kid. Tries really hard. And is a good kid. So the other day, we're having what we like to call in second grade Wacky Wednesday.
Mm.
Because Wednesday is a day when we don't have any specials. We have nothing but class all day. And so the kids need a little break. So a lot of classes will do that on Friday, but we do it on Wednesday to break up the day. It's like a half hour where we do, you know, they can go on coding apps or they can do this. But the weather's been nice, so the last 2 weeks I've taken them outside. And I stole this idea from another second grade class. It kind of involves a little bit of science to make Wacky Wednesday, to give it that that scholastic edge. So they can go, Noonan, what are you doing? Just taking the kids outside? Yep. I could go, no, we're doing a little science kind of deal, talking about the sun and reflections and casting shadows and all this. So I had the kids go out, and we had sidewalk chalk, and I had the kids, I had paired them up, and one kid would stand and pose, and then his partner or her partner would trace their shadow in chalk, and then they'd color it in. And it's fun, takes about 15 minutes, and then they go and play the rest of the time. So Daffy and his partner finished tracing their shadows. And Daffy comes over, says, hey, Mr. Noonan, can I have another colored chalk so that I can color in my shadow? I say, sure, Daffy, take yourself a piece of chalk. So I turn around because I have 20 kids, Cody, 20, 27, 7 and 8-year-olds, or 6, 7, 8-year-olds. I don't know how old they are in second grade. They're about 4 feet tall. That's all I know. So I'm watching them, and I'm walking around to other pairs, and I'm complimenting everybody on their shadows, and the kids are having a great time, and they're into this thing, so I'm feeling good about it. And I walk back, and I see Daffy crouched down over in the shade, and I'm like, well, I don't think Daffy's overheated, and he's definitely not near where his shadow is. I walk over, and I see Daffy has scrawled a message onto the playground. Now, I will say this. When Daffy writes in class, he has some issues to being a. He's still learning. The kid's trying hard. He's still learning, but his penmanship leaves a lot to be desired. To the point where when he writes something, I have him come up and tell me what it is, because I look at it and it could be written in Chinese. I don't know what it is. So when I walk over and see that Daffy has left us a message. How many breaks do we have this half hour? We have two? All right, we're going to break now. What did Daffy scrawl on the playground? And what do you do? How do you discipline your child when they misbehave, but it's really funny? 312-981-7200. I will reveal all after this, WGN. So I see Daffy scrawling this. I walked over. Here's the message that he had written on the playground. In big letters, eat my poo-poo with 2 exclamation points. Don't look at me like that, Cody. That's what he wrote. I have a picture of it. I actually tweeted it out the other day. And I immediately, in my mind, I was like, oh, Daffy. And I had to, what are you doing? And he looks up at me with the, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You just wrote the, did you write this? And of course he wrote it. I saw him make the last exclamation point. But the thing was, it was perfect. The letters were perfect. The spelling was perfect. The punctuation was on point. I don't know what came over Daffy at that moment where he had a coherent thought and then he wrote it down. So inside I'm like, wow, this is pretty good. And I wanted to laugh and laugh, but I couldn't laugh and laugh because eat my poo-poo is not an appropriate thing to say at school and definitely not to write on the playground. So, I don't know, if you've been in this situation where your kid does something that is wrong, but it's still funny, you still have to play the disciplinarian. So, at first I went to erase it with my shoe, and then I thought better, and I smeared it a little, and I was like, oh, I got to get a picture of this. So I got a picture, and then I tried to smear it a little more. I did show, because Daffy goes into another room for reading, and I told that teacher, I said, you know what Daffy did at... Because I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know if I should tell the office. I didn't know if I should call home. I didn't know what I should do with Daffy. I did make him sit on the wall for the rest of Wacky Wednesday. He did not get to play with the other children for Wacky Wednesday. And I felt bad for a minute, but then I was like, he knew he was wrong. Because the minute I said, did you write this, he got that. You ever see a six-year-old's guilty or seven-year-old's guilty face? They don't hide it well. If Robert Mueller were to come into my class and try to cross-examine these children, they would break immediately. They don't. Thank God they don't have the capacity to be pathological liars. They may try to get one over on you, but they will break. Second graders will roll on you at the drop of a hat. That's why I urge you to never have a second grader as an accomplice in a crime. Because if you get pinched, the second grader will roll. So I sat him down, and I showed his teacher, his reading teacher, the picture of this. She was as excited as I was about the spelling. She was like, "Oh, well, that's one of our sight words. So Daffy spelled it right. This is good news." And then she saw the rest of it. She was like, "Well, all right." So I had to let the office know what was going on. And then they said, "Well, you got to tell Daffy's mom." So here I am. Waiting, and now I have to tell a grown woman that her son wrote "Eat my poo-poo" on the playground. And you can imagine, how do you think, Cody, how do you think this mom reacted when I told her this? Do you think she was furious with Daffy, or do you think she was nonplussed?
Eye roll, maybe?
Not even that. Dead. Nothing.
Oh.
No reaction.
Wow.
Just kind of, a little, kinda, almost like a shoulder shrug. Kind of like that. That was the big reaction. Then she walked away with Daffy. Daffy was back the next day. No big deal.
All right.
That was fine. I mean, I wanted him back. I didn't expect him to be expelled for writing "Eat My Poo-Poo" on the
I would
the playground.
Hope not.
No, listen. But Mr. Noonan had to drop the hammer again. I'm always cast as a villain, which I guess is what you're supposed to do when you're, while you're doing that. So. When you're the teacher, you have to be the bad guy. Right, Roger?
Darn tootin'.
All right.
You're the chief.
Julie wants to jump on. She is in Des Plaines. Hi, Julie.
Yes, hi. I have a funny story. My daughter is 6, and she's in kindergarten, and she's highly intelligent, but she got into trouble at school for hitting a kid, which is really bad.
Yes.
But it was because he called her average.
Oh,
right.
Wow. She wow, she really did not want to be average.
No, she did not.
Wow.
So I got an email from the principal explaining the situation, and I kind of laughed out loud.
Well, yeah, that's you're right. Hit it. You can't condone hitting in school. You just can't. But that's kind of a wild reason.
Yes. I saved the email.
So how did it all play out?
She was in art class, and apparently she's not as good in art. And a kid told her she was average, and she just kind of whacked him.
Oh.
So fortunately, she's a pretty good kid.
Yeah.
So that was we had a talking to her, and it went in her file at school.
Oh, not the permanent record.
The permanent record.
It's in her permanent record?
Yes. Permanent record.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And has she turned out to be above average?
She really is a smart little girl.
There you go. That's perfect. See, so she will, you know, that kid who called her average in art class, she's going to best him nonstop. Was it a boy or a girl?
Oh, yeah. He's going to work. It was a boy. He's going to work for her one day.
I like that she punched a boy. Good for her. Stand up for yourself. You're not average. And even if you are, you take a swing anyway, just to prove your point. Julie, thanks for the call.
Exactly.
Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, that's very good. Roger, did you hear the story?
Yes, I did.
What would you have done? Would you have done what I
exactly
did?
Exactly what you
out?
Did.
Sure, you
exactly
sit him out for the
what
rest
you
of
did.
Wacky Wednesday.
Immediate repercussions for what he did. He was not on task.
Oh, no.
Which was, what did he ask you for the extra chalk for? To fill in.
Color in his shadow.
Was he doing that?
No, he left.
All right, so he was not on task.
He either had a message for the lunchroom or for somebody else.
That exactly.
I didn't like it.
So we had to make that a teachable moment.
Sure.
And you taught him who was in charge.
Somebody taught him how to spell eat. And
yes.
How to use an exclamation point. So
and those were the two spelling word, or that was the spelling
sight word?
Sight word? Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Everything was perfect.
Yeah, good.
All right, we got to do this. Then it's news time. It's WGN.
Yeah. It's good to be see you, your actual visual live person.
Yeah, we're still here, which is very exciting.
That's good.
And, you know. I'm not from the chair or the Kia Soul or wherever else I send my missives from when the White Sox bump us, but it is good to be back. In a lot of homes, the mom is the person who handles the money. The moms get to handle the day-to-day. Sometimes they handle the big budget pictures. A lot of responsibilities financially fall on moms, and it can be a very daunting task. Well, Katie Hill is the deputy editor for Dow Jones Money-ish. She's written for the Wall Street Journal, Market Watch, Forbes, Smart Money, and she has also just written a new book, The 30-Minute Money Plan for Moms. And not only that, not only is Katie doing all of this, she also has time to become a new mom. Congratulations, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congrats on the new baby.
Yes, this is number two, so I'm in the heart of the sleep deprivation.
Oh.
Any mom knows.
Yes, those are trying days for moms and for dads. It's one of those things, you're so overjoyed that the baby is there, and then you look at that child screaming at 3 a.m. and go, what are you doing? We're glad you're here, but you gotta, you know, make yourself at home. You don't need to wake us up all the time.
You forget how you get sleep deprivation the first one, then you have another one. You're like, oh yeah, I remember this now. It's still coming back to me.
Right, and then everybody goes, oh, you look so tired. Yeah, you try sleeping at 20 minutes a stretch. That's of course I look tired.
Yes, and you say, please don't tell me sleep when the baby sleeps, because I can't be sleeping when the baby sleeps.
Right, because there's another child, and there's things to do, and you know. I can't, Good. Congratulations. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
But
thank you.
It's funny, and you remember this from your first job. Once you get through this period, then it's like you kind of block that out. Like you said, you forget that, and you just see this wonderful gift, and you're like, ah, that's all right. They screamed for a little while. That's not the worst thing.
It really is. I mean, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get through it. They're going to sleep through the night very soon. I just keep telling myself that. But he's 6 weeks old, so, you know.
Sound very alert. I must commend you. You sound very, very bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and ready to go. Since we're talking about your son or daughter, your new baby.
He's my son, yeah.
Your son. Since we're talking about your son and you have another child, as I was reading and preparing to talk to you today, this statistic shocked me, that in 24 states, daycare costs are higher than in-state college tuitions. Can that be true?
Yes. This was studied by the Economic Policy Institute. It is true. Because daycare, some people are spending $18,000 or more a year on full-time daycare. I mean, it shocked me when I had my daughter 3 years ago. I remember shopping around for daycares, and my jaw just almost hit the ground thinking about how much that cost. And especially in the Northeast, in Washington, D.C., I mean, sure, Chicago is quite expensive.
Yes.
But a lot of these big cities, especially in certain neighborhoods, daycare is very, very expensive.
Well, in the new book, The 30-Minute Money Plan for Moms, How to Maximize Your Family Budget in Minimal Time, one of the things you discuss is how much we should really be paying for babysitters and daycare. How does somebody figure that out? You mentioned that there's going to be different costs depending on where you live, but as a general rule, how should you be able to figure out if you're getting, you know, raked over the coals for your daycare?
Which is so important. My favorite resource for this is care.com. They look at the cost of daycare, babysitting, nannies in different cities. So you can say, hey, I live in Chicago, I live in wherever you live, and see what other people are paying for babysitting, for daycare. And so to me, that's the best way to know, hey, am I getting a good deal or am I not getting a good deal?
Now, you go to some of these, if you go to one of these daycare centers, it's part of a chain, let's say. They say, well, this is our price. Can you negotiate these prices down? Is there wiggle room?
Yes. Very, very many times there's wiggle room. Of course, there's some daycares where there's a wait list and there's not going to be wiggle room, but for a lot of them, there absolutely is, and it's worth asking. And I think that's one of the first things you do. Say, hey, I'd really love to go here. This is my number one choice, but I can't, you know, can you cut me a little bit of a break? And look, they really, frankly, often will.
Now, what the book is geared toward moms, obviously. What made you decide? I mean, obviously, you are a mom. Is there a difference when you're gearing financial advice toward moms than toward anybody else?
You know, I actually think this book works for parents in general. I wrote it towards moms because I am a mom, and that's what I know. And also, moms make a lot of the financial decisions at the house, the day-to-day shopping mm-hmm. that tends to be done by moms. So I geared it towards them, but it really would work for any parent, especially new parents.
All right, now, this is the part that I was wondering. You said 30-minute money plan. How can anybody make significant changes or start towards significant changes in just 30 minutes?
Yeah. The whole second half of my book is about this. But, yeah, you absolutely can. It takes some legwork up front. You have to kind of automate a lot of things. You're going to automate a lot of your bills. There's a lot of, and by the way, the book goes through it step by step, which is it's a process. But yeah, I mean, the real thing is you got to automate a ton of things. But you really can. I mean, that's how I do it. Because I realize, now I have a second kid, so I really realize this. I don't have time to track my spending, you know, super carefully every single day. I just simply don't have time to do things like that anymore. And so I wrote this with this idea that, you know, 30 minutes-ish, maybe at first it'll take you a bit longer, but 30 minutes a week, once you get the hang of this, it really can happen. And I know busy moms are like, that's what I need, something quick.
Yes. Well, that's part of the book. It's this quick and practical stuff. So what's the first step? To start, so you said there's a lot of legwork up front. So you automated the bills, like you said, and then what do we have to do?
Yeah, you really need to take an inventory of what's going on financially, and that will take some legwork. That will take you a few hours. You need to know what are you paying each month for everything from, you know, housing to clothes, and you really have to go through that and really dig in and look at it. And I know that that's not fun, but once you do that, you say, oh, here, this is what I'm spending on each of these things, and that's really step one. And once you've done that, you've done a ton of the major, major legwork.
Is that the biggest mistake, for lack of a better word, that people make? They're not fully aware of where all their money's going?
100%. In fact, I know very few parents that are aware of where all of the dollars that they're spending going. And as a parent, you're busy, you're tired, you'll buy your kid a snack when you're running out to the grocery store, and you're just kind of dropping money in all these little places, and at the end of the month you realize, I'm not saving anything. I'm certainly not saving enough for my kid to go to college. What is happening? And so that's really where you have to do it. And, I mean, the fact that all your banking and stuff is online now, it makes it a lot easier to track spending than it ever has been. You know, you can pop online. It takes you a minute if you want, and just kind of look at what's happened, what you bought this week. Those kinds of things have made it so much easier for parents.
Since you mentioned saving for college, that's one of the ways. You say in the book there's some simple ways to save for college, even because one of the big arguments people will make is, well, I don't have a lot of money to put away. But you say even if you have only $25 a week, you can still start doing this, correct?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. And I think this is saving something is better than saving nothing. So just because, you're never going to get to save, $200,000 or whatever it is you want. But yeah, I mean, putting in $10, $25, $50 a week, almost all of us could swing that. And again, saving something is better than saving nothing. So don't worry about that. Maybe you can have a goal of, I'm going to pay for a third of the cost of college. But I think a lot of people have this black and white thinking like, oh, I'm never going to be able to save for college. I'll just worry about it later. Instead of just thinking little amounts, because of compound interest mm-hmm. really do add up.
Is there a better place to put that, no matter what amount you can save? Is there a better sort of account to put that in than others?
I almost always recommend a 529 plan. Your state has one. It's pretty easy. Sites like Saving for College and sites like that will go through step by step what they look like. But that's almost always the best way to do it. And I think people also, they don't even realize that. People are just, I'll just pop it into a savings account.
Right.
But the 529 plan gives you tax advantages that you really want to take advantage of.
Katie Hill's my guest. Her new book, The 30-Minute Money Plan for Moms. I'm sure there's going to be moms that say, well, listen, I've read some other financial books geared toward moms, and they want me cutting out coupons all the time and making huge, drastic changes and saying, I can never go to Starbucks, I can never do this. Your book doesn't deal with any of that kind of stuff. That's old thinking, right?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think coupons are often a trap, right? Why do you see so many coupons? Stores know they're going to get in the door. You may buy that one thing with the coupon, but then you're in there and you're buying all this other stuff that you don't need. So I often think that coupons are a trap. Now, look, they can save you money, but sometimes the amount of time it takes to go find the coupons is not really worth it. You know, your time would be better spent elsewhere. And, yeah, the reason they offer so many coupons is because it gets you in the store and it gets you spending. And so you have to ask yourself, do I even really need that thing?
Yeah, and you say the book gives tips for how to cut our grocery bills without using coupons.
Right. I mean, there's tons of them. But, yeah, I mean, look, shopping on a Tuesday or Wednesday, that tends to be when things, you know, go on sale. Certain things have more coupons associated with them. If you do actually want to use coupons and you use them smartly, you know, and things like getting smart about organic. You don't need to buy everything organic. Some things, you know.
Wait, isn't that better for me, Katie? Isn't that going to make me live forever if I eat nothing but organics?
You might live forever, but you might be a lot bored.
I can't afford to live forever.
That's right. But look, yeah, so things like asparagus, avocados, cabbage, cantaloupe, those don't have a ton of pesticides on them, and so you don't necessarily need to always buy that organic. So getting smart about doing things like that and just really looking at your grocery spending is a huge thing because we spend hundreds of dollars a month every month on grocery shopping.
And you're also, when it comes to shopping, not just for groceries, but for other things, you're a big proponent of looking at secondhand things rather than always buying new.
Yeah, I mean, look, toys, do you see what your kids do to your toys?
Yeah.
You know, they get broken. I really, for me, and especially this is great for people in Chicago, for sure, you know, looking on Facebook mom's group, there are toys, strollers, all of that stuff is often given away on those. So I highly recommend joining a mom listserv, mom group, mom email list, all of that for getting toys. Clothes, the same thing. I mean, you really just, your kids grow out of the clothes so quickly. Yeah. They stain them, they rip them. There's just no reason to buy all that stuff new.
Well, and they're used to, I mean, especially if you come from a large family with, you know, brothers and sisters, everybody's having kids. There used to be, you know, we used to hand things down. Like if my daughter outgrew things, you would give it. Now there's such a stigma to that. People would rather spend all this money on, you know, play clothes for a two-year-old that, you know, nothing fancy, but it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And think about it. You know, if you're spending money on that and you're not saving for college or you're not saving for your own retirement, they're way better off with you saving for college so they can maybe, you know, go to the school they want than they are with brand new clothes that they don't even care about because they're two.
Right.
You know? So I think you just have to look at what these trade-offs are and what it means. Buying those new clothes is money you could be putting to better use somewhere else.
Well, and it's hard for a parent, but a mom especially, you know, to look at and make some of those difficult decisions, especially around the holidays. You talk in the book about teaching moms how to not overspend for the holidays. What's the first thing to do?
You're so right. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, how do you do that? Because you want to, it's the holidays. You want to shower your kids with everything. You want to give them this wonderful childhood, but it's hurting you in the long run.
Think about when you were a child, the holidays, right? You maybe remember back to getting one, you know, really great present. You remember a bike, or for me, and I'm going to date myself here, but when I got a Nintendo, I don't remember all of those little teeny tiny smaller gifts that my parents put under the Christmas tree. There was a lot of them, but I don't remember them. I think it's important, you know, you want to give your kids gifts for the holidays. I love that. Get one, you know, really amazing, great present, and don't get so many of those other little things that they really don't need. That all adds up. And they're not going to remember it. And frankly, the holidays are just about, you know, spending time with your family. That's really what, you know, helps kids along in life is that family time. So just don't overdo it. Just get the one great thing. And then all that little stuff, you really can cut that out.
Before I let you go, one of the things that most of us deal with, whether you're a mom, dad, single, it doesn't matter, is high interest credit cards. In the 30-minute money plan, how do we start to deal with these credit cards that are the bane of, we need them, but they're the bane of most of our existence?
I think the simplest way to do it, list your credit cards in order of interest rate and start paying as much as you can on the highest interest rate card and the minimums on all the others, and you just do that until it's paid off. That's simple, that's effective. And yeah, get out of that debt. It really, really drags people down. And some people spend decades paying off credit card debt. So jump in, get in there. It's not as hard as you think. You can stop buying those, you know, the little, buy your toys secondhand, right? And put all that extra money towards your credit card. It's so worth it.
It makes a lot of sense. And as you said, Katie, once you do that initial legwork, 30-minute plans to, and everybody can take 30 minutes a week to try to make their financial lives a little better. The book, The 30-Minute Money Plan for Moms, but it's good for dads, too. It's probably good for anybody who wants to have some money. Katie Hill is the author. Katie, congratulations again on your son, and thank you for joining us, and thanks. Good luck with the book.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Katie Hill, you can pick up the book wherever books are sold, The 30-Minute Money Plan for Moms. And you can see Katie when she wakes up. She's going to be very tired. But didn't she sounded very alert for somebody with a six-week-old. So that was great. And it's a lot of good practical advice. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. Oh, man. So we're preparing. Molly graduates in 2 weeks. This graduation weekend is turning into a wedding. I would say the plans are rivaling what you went through in October, Cody, for your impending nuptials.
Wow.
Well, they're not impending anymore, your nuptials.
Sure.
Yeah, it's insanity. We've got many events that we're required to be at. There's 3 graduation ceremonies. We're trying to set an agenda for the people who are coming based on, when we're having the big dinner afterwards and all of that. We're making reservations have been made months in advance. It's insanity. Insanity.
Why are there 3 graduation ceremonies? Do you have to go to all 3?
I do, because I'm the dad.
Why are there 3?
Well,
we only had 1.
Listen, we paid a lot of money. I want a lot of ceremonies.
You get a skybox or something for this?
No, she's getting two degrees. So she's getting a business degree.
Okay,
so she's going through, that's Friday morning.
The business school right.
is doing their little graduation where they'll actually say her name and she'll walk across the stage and they'll hand her something.
Okay.
Then there's the big unified graduation at the Superdome. So that's everybody. And there's fireworks and a band and a speaker. And it's unbelievable. So that's the big hullabaloo. That's the huge one.
Yeah.
That's the one everybody talks about.
Did you get the invite to be the speaker?
No, I was cast asunder in my desire to give the commencement. Which makes sense.
You would have been very inspirational.
Listen, I have a lot of positive messages to give to the youth of America. Go out and shoot for the middle because you won't be disappointed. I think that's the whole platform. Why aim high? That leads to nothing but disappointment.
Ooh, ouch.
Yep, tears, gnashing of teeth. Shoot for the middle.
Yeah.
Then if you go farther than that, holy cow, you're a champion.
There you go.
If you don't quite reach it, it's only the middle. Who cares? And then if you get there, you're like, well, okay. I'm here. Everything's kosher. Maybe that's why I didn't. I didn't get picked.
Yeah,
they didn't like my tape.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's that, and then immediately following the big unified one is the liberal arts college graduation. Thankfully, that is also in the Superdome.
Oh. Okay.
So then we'll stay around. Mm. And about 3 years ago, they stopped serving liquor. They used to serve liquor at the Tulane graduations in the Superdome. So I know my brothers, the ones who still drink, were looking forward to, we're there from I got to be there at 7:30 when the doors open to wrangle some seats.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm there from 7:30 to maybe 3. You're telling me I don't need a pop at some point to keep me rolling?
Seriously.
But they're like, oh, no, where the concession stands are open so you get a hot dog.
Yeah,
oh,
no.
Fantastic. That's what I want.
Because
I'm sitting there in a suit, I want some hot dog.
Nothing to wash it down with.
Well,
nothing
sure, water
tasty.
And soda pop.
Well,
nice,
can you bring your own? Are they going to frisk you when you walk in?
No, that's the big thing now. Everybody's all up in arms because there's questions as to whether the Superdome is going to enforce NFL bag policy on next Saturday or 2 Saturdays from now. And the women are the women are going crazy that they'll have to carry in clear bags. Can we bring cameras? Blah, 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 blah. So I don't know what's going on. I just know I have a lot to do once I hit the Crescent City. And it's going to, most of it will be fun. I'm actually looking forward to it. Molly's very excited.
I can imagine.
The family is excited.
That's great.
Yeah, it should be nice. I can't believe it's been 4 years.
Isn't that something?
No, it's going way too fast. All right, on the other side of the news, we'll talk about overreacting to squeamish teens. We'll do that after we do this. Let me do this real quick, a little plug. Can I, do you feel bad if I plug? Who cares?
I think we ought to listen.
Sure. I'm going to England. Have I told you that?
Yeah, I think I heard rumors.
I haven't told you that in a while because I haven't been in a while. But yeah, I'm going to England. This is very exciting. What, Cody? I am. I'm going. I got to say, my brothers asked me about this the other night.
Oh.
I said, so you're going to England. They said, is, you're going through the station? I said, well, I'm going through Steve Bertrand Travel.
Right.
And they said, is your, is your studio counterpart going? They were talking about Cody.
Yeah.
And I said, no. And my brother's like, ooh, he's got to be very angry and jealous. I don't know about that. He may be very angry and jealous. But, again, it's a choice between taking Debbie, mm-hmm. my wife of 26 years,
right.
or taking Cody.
Well, hold on. Let me think about
who
that.
Who would I rather have mad at me?
Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, Cody's not covered.
I'm
busy.
Flattered.
He's gonna sour grapes it now.
Yeah,
Watch him sour grapes.
I'm flattered by the invitation, Brian, but I will have to decline.
Oh,
wait, when is it again?
We're going October. Thank you, Cody. We're leaving Chicago October 11th, year of our Lord 2018.
Mm.
So that's coming up. It is a wonderful 10-day tour through all of England's treasures. We're going to go to London, Oxford, Salisbury, Stratford-upon-Avon, London. You get breakfast every day. We're going to see Stonehenge. We're going to see the Victoria and Albert Museum. We're going to go to the Tower of London, Westminster Abbey. We're going to do all sorts of wonderful things. We're going to have a guide taking us around, giving us all the tips, all the history, all the beauty of England. So we'll be traveling around. I told you get breakfast every day. They include four-star dinners. I usually stop at 3 stars because that's how I travel. But now, no, we're going to go 4 stars. Why not? Wonderful accommodations, round-trip airfare on American Airlines. It is all yours. There's only a few seats left. So you need to get quickly to email Steve at SteveBertrandTravel.com, Steve@SteveBertrandTravel.com, or get on your cellular or landline device and call 847-606-6065, 847-606-6065. How will I be? You think you know me from here.
Yeah.
Imagine me in another land.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, it'll be fantastic.
Now everyone's on equal footing over there, Steve, because you've never been there.
I've never been to England. No. I will say, I was with the other night, my youngest brother was in town, so we all met up for dinner. And my cousin, who his parents are both from Ireland, he was there. He took Molly around when she was in Ireland.
Nice.
He was very put out that I was going to Ireland or to England before I went to Ireland. And I said, "Well, nobody wants me to go to Ireland.
Family."
I was
asking.
So I'm.
If he's so upset about it, he could have paid your way to get you over there.
We're going to Ireland. But this time, this trip is to England and seeing all of England's treasures. And I hope you can join us. It is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I cannot wait to go and to hang out with you. And perhaps we'll ride a double-decker bus or stand in one of those phone booths from Doctor Who, Roger.
Yeah, it's a phone booth.
Just a phone booth.
Yeah, just a phone booth.
Nothing special?
No.
All right.
No, just a phone booth.
So if I walk in, I'm not going to come out with a scarf and a perm?
No. No.
It's unfortunate.
No, and there's very few of those left, actually.
Is that right?
Most of them out in the country. Even though there is one about five blocks away from where the Beatles recorded on
Abbey Road.
Yeah. There's about five blocks away. There's a little town. There's a little neighborhood near there. And
is it the Cotswolds?
No, that's not the Cotswolds. I know the Cotswolds are so... I wish I could go with you because I have fallen in love with the Cotswolds.
Really?
Yes.
Do they have a radio station?
I don't know.
Want to do mornings in the Cotswolds?
I would love to.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
You, me, Cody, we all become expats.
And ask the...
On the BBC?
Ask the Bib.
Yeah.
The Beeb.
The Beeb.
The Beeb. Ask your tour guy when you go through.
I'm not going anywhere on Justin Bieber.
No. But ask your tour guide as you go through parts of the Cotswolds. Some very, very famous and rich people have estates there.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Like a lot of rock stars, a lot of musicians.
How did you say that word?
Rock stars
Musicians.
Musicians.
Is that how they say it over there in the Cotswolds? So. Musicians. Yeah.
But ask them.
Hello.
And hopefully they'll take you to the lavender fields.
Oh.
Do you like lavender?
You know I can't smell. Why do you?
I don't know. Well,
your wife
will love it.
Everybody else is going to enjoy that part of the tour. I'll pretend I'm enjoying it because I'm a team player. either way, contact Steve at Steve Bertrand Travel or call 847-606-6065 and join me in England. All right. Can we overreact a little more when it comes to squeamish children? Roger, you'll appreciate this, being a former high school teacher. The Greater Lowell Technical High School the Lowell Sun, somewhere in the, I don't know.
Lowell? L-O-W-E-L-L?
Yeah, not Indiana. It's from Tingsboro is the town. But anyway, they were in a biology class, all the kids, and they started talking about blood and genetics.
Ooh.
Yes, just a discussion. There was no blood anywhere in the room. It wasn't like the teacher gutted a pig and let it spill out all over the room, or were showing, made the kids look at slides in under a microscope. No, none of that. They're just having a little discussion. Well, that discussion was enough to cause a fainting spell among a number of kids in the class.
A number of kids?
Three is a number. Would that be correct?
That's a number,
yes. Three kids fainted because they were talking about blood. Well, it started with one kid. Students were talking about their respective fears of blood when one student fainted and two others followed suit in what is being called a psychosomatic or stress-induced event. Boy, these kids must really be under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
First of all, I can talk about snakes all day. I hate snakes. I'm afraid of snakes. But if Cody started describing a water moccasin or some other sort of snake, I would not pass out.
Hmm.
So the police officers and firefighters, along with paramedics from the fire department, responded to the high school after there was a report of multiple students down. So now, everybody
so
is going out of their mind. Multiple students down. What happened? I don't know. We mentioned plasma, and three kids fell out.
Wow.
We have no idea how this happened. A larger emergency response was originally requested. However, authorities soon determined it was not necessary, because thankfully somebody had some common sense. I went, wait a minute. What's going on here? What were they doing? Were they huffing paint? No, somebody talked about typo negative. One of the kids had a spaz and just fainted, just went crazy. I've never heard of such a thing. And if I'm being insensitive, oh, well, welcome to the club.
We should probably mention that hemophobia is a thing, right?
Is hemophobia
really?
Well, sure, you could be afraid of blood, but if there's no blood around?
Yeah, I don't know how deep it goes, but I had a friend at Gen Con, actually, a few years ago. Checked my blood sugar, as diabetics do. You prick your finger, and there's a little bit of blood comes out, like a drop, literally a drop.
Yes, it's literally a drop.
Also, it's hard to not know when a diabetic's about to test their blood sugar, because they have to pull out the kit, they put the stick in the thing, like it's a process,
and you
right?
announce, I'm about to test my blood!
Well, and my friends had gone.
At least that's what my wife does.
Well, one of the guys was dating a girl who is hemophobic, and she like freaked out after watching me do this thing.
Well, why did she watch?
Well, this was a question that my friends asked several
times. That would be, if I'm deathly afraid of something, and I know it's coming, I'll go the other way.
Yeah, but I know that just based on the one drop of blood, her totally freaking out, like I guess it can be really, really severe. But the idea that three kids in the same classroom all had that seems unlikely.
And again, that there was no blood around.
Yeah.
It was just a discussion. Maybe we should say, hey, these kids have really vivid imaginations and can conjure up the sensory feeling of actually seeing, smelling, who knows, tasting. Perhaps they're vampiric. I don't know if that's even a word. The investigation determined that during biology class, students were discussing genetics, which led to the topic of blood and blood types, as it should. A male student, while on his way to get a drink of water, fainted. Subsequently, two additional students, a male and a female, also fainted. So then, they evacuated the school.
That's... evacuated the whole school.
Evacuated the
what?
Whole school.
Is this world coming to?
I don't know.
Richest country in the world.
The female student and one male student were transported by ambulance to a hospital for evaluation. All three students are believed to be free of any sort of injury. The fire crews evacuated, checked the air quality in the room. Everything was fine in the school. Everything was fine. So somehow it's just this psychosomatic craziness. I saw that and I was like, what? This can't be right.
Now, I thought that, before our first child was born, I was watching TV. It was a PBS show, and I saw them doing a surgery. You know, there's a lot of medical feature shows.
I love those shows,
right?
The surgery shows.
So when I saw them starting to cut, I cringed. I mean, I really cringed, and I eventually quickly changed the channel.
Mm-hmm.
So when our first child was born, when we were in Vegas, we were all prepared.
Wait, your child was born while you were visiting Vegas?
No, we lived in Vegas. I wanted her crap. No. And you went? No.
Baby.
So we were all set for natural childbirth. And after about a day of waiting,
sure.
They finally said, we got to go in. And so we planned for a cesarean, and I thought that I would cringe again and run out of the room. And so I saw them go down for the first cut, and I cringed for a second, and I don't know if it's the reporter in me or the inquisitive person in me or whatever, but suddenly I just popped my head up, and I'm looking with eyes of wonderment.
Like Kilroy coming over the street.
Exactly, and I'm going, oh, my God, this is awesome. And seriously.
I don't know if that's quite the reaction that people are looking for.
I did. And there was, you know, there was some blood, and there was,
yes,
you know.
We all know how that works.
I didn't have the aversion I thought that I was going to have based on my reaction from the TV show, which was really bad reaction.
See, and the TV shows I can watch all day.
Yeah.
But if you cut your hand, if I cut my hand, I can look at it and go, oh, man, this is wild.
Right.
But if you cut your hand and show it to me.
Go down?
I won't go down. I don't drop. Come on. I have a stronger
like
constitution than that. Yeah, what am I going to, Greater Lowell Technical High School? I don't think so.
All right, so I've done some crack producing in here about the medical definition of hemophobia.
Why are you making crack? We've told you. I know we're leaving this building, but you still can't be cooking meth in the producer's room.
I got to do it before we move out so the construction crews destroy all the evidence.
Yes, most times they look at us and say this show is Breaking Bad, but we don't want to actually bring it to life.
How many more chances am I going to have to cook meth in Tribune Tower? We don't even know when we're moving out of here. This could be our last show.
Yeah, they're
and we don't even know.
They haven't told us anything.
They literally haven't. They
legally, originally, we were told by the end of June.
All right.
And I think that was a building-wide kind of deadline.
Sure, because they want Chance moving in here as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Sure.
Chance the Rapper's moving in. Yeah.
Well, you're right.
I didn't hear
he's very interested in the place, yeah. Allegedly.
Are we going to get him on the show?
Sure.
I'm not going to do that.
Where they head him over when he gets the keys?
I can't do that. Although I am verified.
I was going to say, how can you not get Chance the Rapper?
Let's both
really. Chance goes everywhere.
He's from Chicago.
He's actually doing a commencement address at one of the universities in New Orleans. The guy's everywhere.
Oh, nice.
If we can't get him on the show, we'd be the only place that Chance the Rapper does not go. That would be our distinction. We are the only place that Chance will not show up.
All right. I would like to clear up this hemophobia thing.
Please do.
Okay. It is an abnormal and persistent fear of blood. Sufferers of this very common phobia, I didn't know that, dread the sight of their own blood, the sight of the blood of another person or an animal, and sometimes printed or filmed images of blood or even thoughts of blood. Blood may remind them of their own vulnerability to injury or the eventuality of death. Some people may feel symptoms after thinking about blood or certain medical procedures like a blood test. And the physical symptoms can be a rapid heart rate, shaking, trembling, lightheadedness, feeling nauseous, cold flashes, hot flashes.
All right, well, listen, I'm not saying... I'd never heard of that. Two, okay. You're in high school. If you know this is coming up, you got to tell the teacher, listen, I got a thing. If I even hear about blood, I'm going down. And then if the teacher goes, sit down, suck it up, buttercup.
It does seem incumbent on the person with a potentially risky condition.
Because you cannot blame the teacher for this at all. The teacher is teaching a lesson on genetics, and the topic of blood and blood types comes up.
Right.
That's textbook teaching science.
Maybe the person didn't know they had the condition before this came out. Maybe this was the first time they were exposed to the discussion of blood. I don't know why it would have been the first time after a whole year in school, but...
And it also your entire life up to this point.
Well, yeah. Did you ever get a cut or
right, most
a
kids
shot?
Have fallen down and, had a blood test or something. So you would know. 6-3-0, the first kid freaking himself out about the blood. The second two fainted because the first kid fainted. It's like one kid throwing up because another one did. I don't know.
Psychosomatic?
I've seen people faint and I've never fainted.
Yeah.
That would be scary. But, all right, so there you go. Just got to evacuate the school. I got to figure out something where Cody will say it and I'll just faint. Like, hey, I booked 3 guests today. Down goes Frasia. Down goes Frasia.
Maybe I'll faint if you go to a commercial break on time. Hi-yo!
Well, let's find out. I got the patio set up this weekend. Very excited.
You have a patio?
I have a patio. Listen, Cody. I don't know. I'm a pretty big deal.
Nice.
I got a patio set that goes on said patio. Got an umbrella that when I opened it, a dead bird dropped out onto the table. I got a lot of things at the house. A lot going on. Yeah, that was gruesome.
That was dark.
Did the dog drop on that when he saw it?
The dog, I mentioned this before, the dog is so busy. This dog is so busy digging everything.
I heard that driving in.
You know what the dog's not doing? Put his own urine in a microwave.
Huh?
Yeah, that's happening in Colorado.
What?
You heard me. I tried to slide it in pretty quick because I don't want to dwell on it, but this is what's going on in America. This is why we're the way we are.
Was this for a scientific test of some kind?
No, I'm not going to faint when I read you the story.
Okay.
Colorado police, Aurora, Colorado police, ticketed a Denver woman for allegedly damaging a 7-Eleven microwave. And you're going to put your burrito in there.
What? Wait, at 7-Eleven?
7-Eleven. She's in 7-Eleven. She damaged the microwave. How? Well, by heating up her urine, of course. Because who doesn't go to 7-Eleven to get themselves one of those char sausages on the rotator and then
chorizos?
A big gulp? Yeah, and then heat up a burrito and some urine.
Yeah, but no.
Well, the urine exploded in the microwave. Now, there's something we didn't know.
Yeah.
Who says this? People will say, Brian, why would you do this kind of story? This is disgusting.
Edutainment.
Well, it is edutainment, because who would have known that would explode?
Not me.
Me either. Unless it's metallic, unless Iron Man is doing it. But I thought the only thing that exploded in microwaves was metal and a potato after a certain amount of time.
Well, maybe
I guess anything.
There's some metal pieces.
Well, let's find out, Roger. Now, you bring that up.
Yeah.
Angelique Sanchez, she's 26. She was issued a summons for damaged property. The microwave is reported worth about $500. Really? 7-Eleven's shopping at the wrong place, because you can get a microwave for like $37.
Yeah, maybe back in the day it was $500 when they first came out.
Right, when they were the size of a Buick.
Yeah.
And you could fit, you know, your whole family in there. Keep warm in the winter in your microwave, as long as you weren't wearing a medallion. Police reports show that Sanchez left the 7-Eleven after the incident and was found waiting at a nearby health clinic for a physical and urine analysis for a future job. Wow, we can't hire you, Miss Sanchez. Your urine is explosive. Police reports show the 7-Eleven clerk called police on Sanchez after hearing a, quote, loud bang a few seconds after she placed something in the microwave. The clerk noticed yellow liquid dripping from the microwave and a smell that was unquestionably urine. All right, on that note, we will go. Then we'll find out what Karen Conti is doing on her program. That happens after this. All right, thanks for listening and being part of the program. We will be back with you next Sunday night. Who knows when we'll start, but then we'll end at 7, because Karen Conti will come in, as she did just now, and she's got her program coming up next. Hello, how are you?
Good, I'm
doing
fine.
It's been a while. So what do you got on the big show tonight?
I have a really special guest. His name is Brian Noonan.
Wow. I don't know how you got him.
It was really hard. I made
it. Did you pay for his travel? I got to move all the way to the other side.
It's going to be fun being on the other side. Yeah, you're going to come on and talk about comedy and has comedy changed. I was watching this Michelle Wolf correspondence dinner from last weekend, and there's a lot of controversy. Was she funny? Was she not funny? Did she go too far? Are we too sensitive? So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
That sounds like it. Sounds interesting. All right, good. I'll stick around for that.
Okay.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. If it's that smart, you shouldn't even have to say it. It should just know. But that's just me. The news is sponsored by Rogers Roofing. It's 7 o'clock. He's not roofing now. He's reading the news. Roger Badish.